Welcome to Podistan, a community for Indian podcasters by Indian podcasters. My name is Vidur. Our guest this week is Vijay Gautam. He hosts an excellent podcast called The Inspiring Talk. We had an informative conversation that I think you guys will gain a lot from, where he shared his insights after having been in the industry for over a year. Let's jump right in. Hey Vijay, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Hey Vidur, thank you so much for having me here.
So would you mind telling the listeners a little bit more about yourself? I've already given a brief introduction and maybe briefly about your podcast, The Inspiring Talk as well.
I host a podcast called The Inspiring Talk, where I interview today's most successful and inspiring personalities. And what I love doing on The Inspiring Talk is basically walk my listeners throughout the journey of these successful and inspiring personalities so that they can learn something from the journey and get that dose of inspiration from the guest whom I interview on my podcast. And also every Thursday, I release a segment or sort of version of the episode, which I call Thursday Inspiration. So these are the shorter episodes where it's only me talking. And basically it is the self-help podcast for people looking to get that dose of inspiration and motivation and learn from the successful people how they made it big in their life so that they can get those insights and take action in their own life. So apart from that, I am also a podcast coach and consultant where I help individuals and organizations start their own podcast. And in terms of helping them, I help them come out with their idea to planning and then launching their first episode. So this is pretty much what I do in a nutshell.
Could you give some examples of guests you might have on The Inspiring Talk and the journeys you walk through?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the notable people whom your listeners might have heard of is Vidya Vox, who is a YouTube sensation and a singer. And the another one is Manoj Vasudevan, who was a world champion of public speaking 2017. And also recently, I had this guy from Mind Valley. He is Gautam Khetrapal. He heads the tribe at Mind Valley. And also I have interviewed some cool people like a best-selling author of the books such as The Habit of Winning and The Secrets of Leadership, Prakash Iyer. So these are some of the notable names. Also, there are so many other amazing people whom I was blessed to have conversations on my podcast.
And just so listeners know, you hit about 50 episodes last month. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's been a great journey, it sounds like. Could you walk us through how you learned about podcasting and what made you start The Inspiring Talk?
I attended a 5 days intensive training program back in 2017, which was called Train the Super Trainer kind of program. So it was basically a program where you go into deep immersive experience, what Gautam Khetrapal loves to say, again, the guy I mentioned about from the Mind Valley. So when you go on events like that, you always come back with the points that you want to implement in your own life. And apart from that, I have been a student of self-help myself since 2012. And after consuming this content for 4 or 5 years, I wanted to give out to the world. And actually, more than that, I wanted to learn from the successful people, like the first-hand experience of learning from them, asking them directly the questions that I wanted to ask. And the initial idea was to get started with a YouTube channel. And I had a 9-to-5 job at that point in time, which means starting a YouTube channel was quite a demanding thing to begin, because you need more of the logistics and also you need a studio kind of stuff, which I couldn't afford at that point in time, in terms of time and in terms of budget as well. So I somehow came across a podcast thing. Okay, there is this something called podcast. Oh my God, it's just audio. I can do it from my bedroom. It's, simple. And the more I went on to learn about podcasting, more I got fascinated about this medium, the power of this medium. You can take it anywhere, right? You could be doing anything. Like you could be cooking, you could be driving, you could be cleaning, or you can still be sitting on the pot and you can listen to podcast, right? So that's the beauty of this medium, and that's that pretty fascinated me. And I recall that back in 2011, 2012, I used to go to Robin Sharma's website and download those audio clips and listen to them on my Java phone that I had at that point in time. And I found that, oh my God, these things are called podcasts. Oh, I used to listen to them back in 2011, 2012, and I really enjoyed listening to them. Oh, this is something that I'm going to do. And that's how I came into podcasting, and that's how the idea was born. And also another motivation for me was to go back and see, okay, I'm listening to a lot of these podcasts on self-help from the US and Europe. And I went on to see what are the different self-help podcasts that are in India. And to my surprise, there was none of them at that point in time, not a single self-help podcast in India.
And when was this, by the way?
So it was back in 2017. So there was no such self-help podcast out there, pretty much like I do. There were, some of them in entrepreneurship and podcast on business, but there was nothing really in terms of like inspiring or sharing the success journey with listeners. So that was another motivating factor, like because the podcast that I listened to featured the successful guest in US and Europe, but I wanted the success stories from India to come into limelight, and I wanted to interview Indian successful people. So that's how I started, and I have got some of the really amazing feedback for the podcast. So I mean, that's how the whole idea started, and I think this is a big gap that is right now here in India in terms of not having a self-help podcast that people can listen to, and so that's how I got into podcasting. As far as the learning is concerned, it was more of a self-learning or self-discovery. And I have to thank Google and some other amazing people out there who put out amazing, great content to learn podcasting. But it took me a hell lot of time because you have to figure out a lot of things when you are doing it by yourself, right? So I think it was a kind of self-learning for me, figuring things out yourself and hit and trial kind of stuff. So I'm still learning today itself. So I think that was quite an experiment.
Could we just break down that initial learning phase a little bit? Obviously, a lot of Googling and a lot of consulting other websites and existing podcasts that are out there that teach podcasting. But yeah, what were the first couple of months like? Were there any initial experiences and hurdles you look back upon maybe fondly? And, when was the period when you felt like, okay, now I've actually figured out how to do this and I have a smooth workflow and I'm a podcaster?
Yeah, absolutely. So the very initial thing was to find out the different stages that I need to implement or accomplish to actually launch my podcast. So I kept a separate journal kind of thing, or maybe you may like to call a diary, for the podcast stuff. And everything that I was learning from these videos on YouTube and reading the blogs and also watching some of the masterclasses and live events that were happening live, as in online live events that I was watching, just I made a note of all of those different aspects of what is required to launch a podcast. And after that, what has really helped me, and also this is something that I do with my podcast coaching students as well, is to create a checklist of the items that I need to accomplish to launch a podcast. For instance, when I was starting out, there was a long list of 25 or 30 items of different tasks that I need to accomplish to launch a podcast. For example, picking a name, booking a domain name, setting up the website, purchasing equipment, setting up equipment, scheduling the interview, booking the media host, and creating podcast launch plan and all of that. So I broke down those 27 steps and I took them one by one. As I mentioned, I had a day job at that point in time, so I didn't have enough time, but it took me maybe a couple of months or maybe more. And interestingly, when you learn in this way, you delay the entire process by quite a long time, because you to figure one single thing, for example, just for me to figure out how to record Skype interviews, it took me a week or maybe two to figure out how can I record or what is the best possible way to record the Skype interview. And I still have a recorder that I have purchased at that point in time to record the Skype interviews, which I have never used, and it's still there. So you run into those kind of issues when you don't follow some structured kind of stuff. But again, it was basically, I think that checklist thing has helped me. And this idea comes from a book that I read called A Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. So that was that's how I came with the checklist. And then I started hitting those milestones. Okay, picking a name, now done. Booking a domain name, done. And check done, check done, check done. And that's how the whole process looked like for me.
That's very fascinating. But when you look back on that period, I'm sure it was still fun, right? Is there anything you change about all that hidden trial? It must have taught you a lot.
Yeah, I think I would not really change anything about that. I think because of that hidden trial, because what's working and what's not, yeah, it did took me a lot of time. I think I could have learned maybe launched my own podcast maybe at half the amount of time or maybe quarter the amount of time that I have taken to launch my podcast. But I think there's a learning associated to that. And I was basically enjoying because that was one of the best thing that I have ever done in my life, if we look at it that way. So I was really passionate. I think the big thing, I mean, like, okay, this is going to be amazing thing that I'm putting out to the world. So, you know, giving it back to the world kind of stuff. So yeah, it was fun.
And what about this sort of public speaking, interviewing aspect? Is that something you were comfortable with? Were you intimidated by it? And what was it like when you started? I'm sure you're a lot better now. So can you walk us through that journey as well?
Oh man, no, not at all. Like I have been, as a kid, like I have always been fascinated by going up on the stage and talking in front of people in a group. One to group has always been much easier for me, which is not the case with most of the people. Most of the people are comfortable on one-on-one kind of thing. They can have conversation with endlessly with when, you know, they have to talk with one person. But when they have to go to stage and address the masses, they, you know, just can't do that. But opposite for me, I can stand on the stage and talk to large audience, but when it comes to having conversation with someone, I mean, I'm a kind of introvert in that case. I do not essentially have a lot of things to say, and I'm like, okay, I'm not talking about podcast right now, in a general situation as well. So if I meet somebody on the elevator in my office, then I do run out of questions. After asking, hey, how are you? Oh, okay, good. I mean, after that, I run out of questions. Okay, what I can talk to him, or like finding those conversational points. So that was really huge challenge for me. So initially, all I used to had was, rather than following the conversation, I used to had a list of 8 or 10 questions that I wanted to ask. And despite of the any interesting information or anything that I could potentially follow up and pull the thread on from the conversation or something that guest had said, I just stayed strict to my questions that I wanted to ask that particular guest. And that happened for quite some time. But I knew that this is not how it is going to be, over a period of time. I have to change and I have to eventually follow the conversation. But that's pretty much, something that happened to begin with in the beginning. I stayed rigid to the questions that I have. And as a result of that, some of the points left unanswered. And when I go back to those episodes and listen, and I realize, oh my God, I could have asked, this was a really an important point, and I could have followed up on this, and there could have been some amazing information coming on from the guest, but I missed that. So yeah, I mean, that was there.
It's funny, right? Because interviewing is a real skill, but because most of the time we're hearing really good interviewers, you know, in a professional television or news setting, we don't realize it's a skill. People make it look easy. And then when you start doing it, you realize how much there is to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, to interview or to become a great interviewer, a lot of research goes at the back end of that. And what I have realized myself is, to have an amazing interview episode, the amount of research that you put in the back end really reflect the kind of performance that you can do on the interview as an interviewer, so that you will have more points to talk and discuss on the interview when you have really done the good research. And if you have not done the good research about the person whom you are going to interview, even though that person might be a very successful person and has got a lot of things to share, and if you cannot pull that out by asking the right questions, then that would be a waste. You just spoiled that opportunity.
For sure. So it sounds like you gained a lot on the conversational interviewing front over the course of this 50 episode plus journey. What else do you think you have gained from it, apart from all that you've put out there in the world?
So I think one of those things that I was fascinated to start my podcast was to learn the journey of the people. So that was something that I always get to hear or listen to, these amazing stories of the successful people and the kind of struggle and challenges that they have gone in their life and how they were able to overcome those. So when you have constantly this kind of conversation with this kind of people, that will give you a kind of mindset, or that will help you shape your own mind in a way that, you know what, you know, there are going to be a lot of problems in your own life, but when that guy whom I have interviewed had gone into a much stronger or deeper problem than I'm on right now. And if he could, then I can as well. So that is the kind of mindset that you get. So that was one of those things. And another thing is really building that network and getting access to these highly successful and amazing people. So when you interview these people and constantly talking with these successful people who are really moving needle in their industry, then people will start looking at you as one of those people, which is super cool. And you have access to right kind of people for any kind of information that you want to pull from. These people, they are just a call away. So, for instance, I have interviewed Manoj Vasudevan, who was world champion of public speaking. And if there is something that I want to, any some component about public speaking or anything that I want to ask, he's just a phone call away or a message away. So you have access to these people. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would like to say that I have gained by starting the podcast.
That's definitely really cool. Could we explore that dynamic a little bit? When you start out, it's probably tough to get guests, right? Is there any experience or are there any strategies you want to share in terms of getting guests? Because a lot of people tend to think about podcasting in terms of them wanting to start interview-based shows like yours or like the one we're doing right now. But a lot of people do feel intimidated in terms of how will I get guests? Or sometimes they have very high-profile guests like the kinds you mentioned right now with Mr. Manoj or Vidya Vox, and they just feel that they'll never be able to get to that level. Like they'll have nothing to offer. What's that experience been like for you?
So I think there are, again, two things to look at it. One thing is discovering whom you want to interview. So that's the first step. And another step is how to approach them. So the first step is whom to reach out or whom do you want to have as a guest on a podcast. So, for example, for my podcast, it's more of inspiration and it's a self-help thing. So I go to multiple places, which means I go to Amazon bestseller book category section and I just look at the new book launch. Or the upcoming books that are coming out and you know that they are going to be released, and I just make a note of those people and I try to find their email and suit them up. Hey, I have this podcast, The Inspiring Talk, and I have these people coming as a guest on my podcast in the past, so if you'd like to be guest, here are the detail and all of that. So that is one place, and another could be TEDx talks. So I try to find TEDx talks and the speakers who has given the TEDx talk on the topic that interests me, and I go and look at their profile, and if I think these are the kind of people whom I want to have conversation and bring on my podcast, that is another way. Another could be asking the past guest has also been one of the amazing ways to find guests. So if I see one of my past guests clicking a photo or posting that photo on their social media with some guest or some person whom I would like to interview on my own podcast, then I'll ask them to introduce me with them, and that has helped me bring in some amazing people on my podcast. So yet another thing is just when you are scrolling on Facebook feed, you come across something interesting. So for example, I interviewed this lady called Mehak Mirza Prabhu. She is amazing storyteller. So a few months back, I was scrolling on my Facebook, and out of nowhere, her story popped in on my Facebook feed, and I went forward to watch that story. That was a very beautiful story, and she has done that very, very beautifully, and I love that story. But I didn't consider she could be someone whom I would want to interview. So, and after a few weeks or maybe after a few months, I went on to see TEDx India page. And I found a TEDx talk by her. I think she is the kind. I have seen her somewhere, and it was the story that I watched on my Facebook feed. And after listening to her TEDx talk, I was fascinated by her story. She had a very, very powerful story herself in her own life. She had gone through a lot. And that made a very powerful, then I realized she is going to make a very good guest for my podcast. And I immediately approached her. And over a week, we were doing an episode with her. And it was really appreciated by my listeners. So this is how the entire thing works. So I discover people and then I try to find out the ways on how I can reach out to them. And after that, we basically fix the schedule and then we pretty much do that. To answer the other part where you mentioned about reaching out to the unapproachable people, such as with DevOps, I have found some of the things working really well. So I'll give an example in with DevOps case. So she is really busy and it's really tough to crack and get Vidya on the podcast. But when you go and look closely at a person like Vidya, you will realize that there is one cause or the another these people are really fascinated about, and they do really care about one or two of those cause. And when you can put that thing at the first thing on approaching these people, then you can get them on the show. For example, for Vidya's case, what I have realized is Vidya, being someone coming from India, having brown skin and growing up in US, she was bullied for her school, bullied for her color at her school and for the lunch or the sambar, idli and sambar eating at her school. So which means, and after that, now today she encourages every girl or every kids out there to be who they are and not feel bad about their culture or the kind of cultural background they come from or their skin. And she always, you know, in one way or another, if you look closely at her, you will realize that she has, you know, spoken about that earlier as well, and she fuses that and she tells her the she tells the world the same thing as well. Like she fuses the Indian music and she's she's trying to get those music to the West and trying to express herself in her own way. This is who I am, and I'm not shameful about this. And the mail, the first sentence that I have written on Vidya's mail was, "Vidya, you are an inspiration to many young girls in India who cannot even dream of going big, but you are making it huge and adopting who you are. And that's a huge thing. You are a big inspiration for many young girls, not only in India, but across the globe. So I'd like love to have you as a guest on my podcast." And the moment she saw that "be yourself" thing on the email, that was kind of, I believe that was something that really got her attention, and she wanted to be a guest on the podcast. So I think finding what your guest really cares about and, putting it in a way that you can actually get them on your show. So craft a message in such a way that they cannot afford to say no just because you have put the message in such a way that they would love. And another idea that has really worked for me is when you have some guests that you have already interviewed on the podcast, but rather than going and asking them, "Hey, would you like to introduce me to XYZ or a very good friend of yours?" They might not have time sometimes, and they might have time and they might not do. They say, "Okay, I'll introduce you," but they might not do. The simple way is just write the email to the person whom you want to interview and give a reference of the person. "Hey, I got a reference from XYZ, and you know what? He told me a lot about you. So would you like to be guest on my podcast? And he has also been guest on my podcast." And they are like, you know, they are not going to ask, "Hey, have you recommended me to BJ's podcast?" No, they are not going to ask them anyways, right? So you can simply go and tell them, "Hey, you know what? He told me about you and I want to have a guest." And they are like, "Okay, I think that guy has told me. That means this guy know what he's doing." And they want to be guest on a podcast. So I think, these are the two things that I would like to share.
Those are just great insights. And I think both are great, fascinating approaches, very smart. And it's really cool to hear how they worked out for you. It's also a very sort of invisible part of the hustle in having a show where you get guests.
Oh, man,
right?
Yeah. That's the biggest part of the hustle, like finding the guest and getting yes and scheduling, rescheduling, reminding. And that a lot of things goes behind the scene in, putting out the one episode.
So that also brings me to the fact that you've also started these solo episodes on Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken. What's the thinking there? What's the response been?
So basically, when I started out, as I mentioned, like I wanted to share a message out to the world. And after 6 months down the line, interviewing guests, I thought, now it's time for me to share my insights and my learnings as well. So everything that I was learning on a day-to-day basis and also by interviewing these people after 6 months, I wanted to. And also another pointer was, a lot of people asked me, "Hey, your interviews are like 1 hour long or 30 minutes or 40 minutes long. That's too much. Is there anything short and quick that I can consume?" And I thought, okay, let me put together a new episode every Thursday. Thursdays, which I'm going to call Thursday Inspiration. So with the beginning of 2018, I started doing these Thursday Inspirations, and I do share some sort of inspirational stories and some messages and some ideas that has caught my attention on that. And I think the response has been really well, and it's been received well.
So the inspiration to start it actually came from feedback from listeners?
Yeah, always. Like, you have to listen to listeners, right? When people are listening to you and they are telling you or giving you feedback on, to amend something or to change something, then you have to listen to those to make those changes in your podcast. After all, you are creating your podcast for them. It's not about you, right? It's about them. And it's not about my podcast. It's not about me. It's about my listeners. So you have to serve them what they want to listen and they want to hear.
As we wrap up this sort of podcast focused journey of yours, maybe for potentially new podcasters, existing podcasters who are still struggling with the initial phases, could you do a very short walkthrough of a traditional episode, literally from pre-production to publishing? You've already walked through a very important piece of it, which is getting guests. Anything else to keep in mind? What is it like? How do you set up? How do you do your research? And then how much editing do you do? Maybe like a 2-minute summary of what it takes.
Okay, so 2 minutes would be really short time, but I'll try my best. Yeah. So I think the very first thing is when you are doing interview based podcast, just if you are looking at 1 hour long podcast or maybe even shorter interview based podcast, then you have to keep aside 10 to 15 hours of your time right from ideation to publishing your episode. So the basic steps, if I have to walk you through, looks like zero. Or maybe the first step would be to find the guest. And we have already discussed about how or where you can find the guest. And after that, once you find those people, send an email to them or maybe give them a call or maybe send them WhatsApp or Facebook or whatever way you can, or whatever medium that you find to reach out to them. Just send them, drop them a line. And after they agree or after they say yes, then go ahead and schedule the time. And once you schedule the time, now it's your job to do a good or maybe spend a good amount of time to do a research about that guest. So researching means you just go and find every single thing that you can find about that person, their TEDx talk, their books, their articles or their blog post. And even I go to LinkedIn to find their LinkedIn articles, go and dig into their Facebook account, go and dig into their Instagram and pull out everything that you can pull about them and put it them on a Evernote note. And just dump all of those items that you find about them, interesting, non-interesting, fascinating, not fascinating, good, not so good, whatever you find about them, just dump them on a Evernote file or maybe Word or wherever you want to dump them. And I think once you do that, and I spend an hour or so to do this, and after I dump everything and go and watch those videos, and after I dump everything into the Evernote, I come back to Evernote and organize those thoughts. And because you need to organize those thoughts in terms of where you want to lead the conversation and how you want the conversation to flow. So put them in perspective and put them in a flow, how you want to structure your conversation. And once you have that, you can prepare certain pointers from the raw research that you have done. And after that, you go ahead and record the interview. And once you record the interview, editing, I usually do a basic noise reduction, and I boost the audio quality to make it loud enough for people to consume when they are on metro or train or maybe driving. So that loudness is one of those things. And also, if there is some really distracting filler words or awkward silence in there, so I remove those, and also some frequent repetitive phrases or something like that. So if that's very distracting, otherwise I just let it pass. After that, you are pretty much good to go. And once you have that episode ready, upload it on your media host and then create some creatives for posting it on social media, Instagram, Facebook, or whatnot. So and that's pretty much the entire workflow looks like at the moment.
That's a great walkthrough. I mean, the summary there is it's not so simple as just turning on a microphone and, calling your guests and talking. Yeah, especially the research part adds a lot to the content. But then your post-production seems like it is fairly minimal, right? And for the most part, you're keeping pretty accurately the conversation that you have with your guests.
The podcast listeners are more forgiving than we as a podcaster really think. We, they want to be part of that flops. They want to be part of those bloppers. They want to listen or some of those backstories on something that happens. And for instance, like on the one of those episodes, the lady that I was mentioning, Mehek Mirza, the setting on my laptop just I did some wrong setting on my laptop, and what just happened was I was sounding really heavy or something like that. So that was not my voice, but that's something that I realized after recording the entire interview. And on the intro segment itself, I said, hey guys, you might hear my voice very heavy and something because I missed the audio recording setting on my laptop. Just bear with that. You will enjoy the conversation. And, you know, people still love that episode. So, I mean, you don't have to worry a lot about getting it perfect. But I think you should really focus about what you should really focus about is getting it out and getting it published and consistently doing it rather than spending a lot of time on one episode and feeling overwhelmed about the entire process and not going on to edit another one. But just keep things minimal, at least to begin with, at least for 20 episodes or 30, first 20 or 30 episodes, just do minimal things. And over a period of time, you will gain the skill and you will learn those. And after that, you can, do advanced editing stuff so that you can increase the listening quality or you can give better listening experience to your audience. But the first thing is maintaining that consistency.
That's a very interesting point. It's important to not let perfect be the enemy of good, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also with podcasting in particular, especially interviews and conversational style podcasts, sometimes perfection can come in the way of the authenticity that makes the medium and format so interesting to begin with, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So that's you publishing the episode. You briefly mentioned social media. Could we talk a little bit about what it really takes to get listeners? It's a real hustle, that I know for sure. Maybe talk about like marketing, some of the marketing channels and collaborations that have worked well for you that you think people should engage with. And one thing I want to talk about in particular, which I think is something that you're very good at, is the role of the website. Use the Inspiring Talk website not only for your podcasts, but, you know, your blog and other services that we'll talk about later on in the episode.
Sure.
Could we just talk about podcast marketing and how to actually get listeners?
So that's a really big hustle for and a big pain for the podcasters, at least in India at this point in time, generally speaking, there are not many podcasters many listeners that listen to podcasts in India. We have listeners somewhere around 500,000 to 1,000,000 podcast listeners in India, which is fairly a very small number of people, or maybe even less than that. So that's looking at those numbers, trying to solve the Indian listeners. That's a huge trouble. I mean, I wouldn't say trouble, but a challenge to us as a podcaster. And along with that comes the responsibility to make people aware about the podcasting in general. So I think that's the responsibility of us as a podcaster, but that's the whole end of the conversation. So to answer your question about getting listeners to your podcast, one of those things that I have tried in the past is collaborating with other fellow podcasters. So we basically sent our 30-second clip to each other and played those clip in each other's podcast. So that kind of collaboration, again, there is no way to measure how much or how many new listeners we got out of that. But I think that's one of those ways. And also collaborating with other partners or maybe other apps, podcast playing apps has helped me tremendously. So for instance, there is this app called Castbox where I have been featured since February of 2018. So whenever I have new episode, I just send them a new banner and they just simply put me on their banner, and which has given me a lot of organic listeners to my podcast. And similarly getting on the Apple podcast list also has helped me gain new listeners. And apart from that, whenever you are in event or on social media, you can just create those posts and just make sure that you shout about your podcast everywhere or wherever it's possible. So I think these are some of the strategies that I have played around. But there is no way to measure how much success came from what source really.
And could you talk about the role of your website?
So the role of my website basically is, initially, the role of my podcast when I started out was just to have people play or listen to those episodes on my website. But eventually, when I started offering podcast coaching and consulting to people, then I Wanted to have those services listed on my website as well. And apart from that, having a website along with your podcast really make, you know, helps you establish yourself as an authority and people can trust you. So whenever you approach to this guest and giving the link to your website and putting out 10 different things on your website, which might interest that guest to make a decision. So it would be much easier for that guest to make that decision. And I think this is one of the things that Indian podcasters should really consider is establishing their or building their own website, which 80% of them don't have right now. So because it builds credibility and people will think this guy is serious, he has got a website, beautiful website, and you know, and you can share whom you have interviewed and what are the different works that you are doing. So that would be the role of the website in terms of podcasting, basically building your credibility and helping people trust you.
Right. I think your website definitely serves that purpose as well. Can I just ask, where do you want to go from here when it comes to the Inspiring Talk? Where do you want your podcast to go? A very common question, of course, on that journey is monetization. I know you have a sponsor kit on your website. Where do you see the Inspiring Talk a couple of years from now?
I do have a vision for this podcast, and I want people, you know, wanting to make difference in their life and really listening to this podcast. And also in terms of numbers, I don't think that there would be a vision in terms of like I want a million downloads or maybe 10 million listeners or something like that. But what is more important to me is people really listening to that. And if I get continuously hearing back from the listeners saying, Vijay, you know what, I listened to that episode and I have taken this action as a result of that, I think that would be a real win for me. And even if that's one person coming back after listening to one episode saying it had a deeper impact on me and I went forward and did this just because I listened to that episode. Also, I mean, like often I get one or two people or three people coming back and saying that, but I think that's a real win for the podcast because podcasters like myself and yourself in the most of the scenario are mission driven. These are the people who do have a mission in their life to serve more than anything else. So monetization and rest of the thing follows, right? Because there is a huge amount of work that goes. If I look back at the 1 year of podcasting, there has been a lot of efforts in doing this podcast and, you know, putting out content and a lot of that. But again, when you get those kind of messages, that's really a win for a podcaster.
So it sounds like it's more about impact versus downloads, listens, or dollars. And that explains a lot because that's kind of the only way you can stay in the game and have this sort of longevity, sustainable podcasting mindset that you clearly have. And that's what's gotten you so far.
Yeah, that's always something that, you know, that keeps me going because for the first 6 months, I did not have considerable number of downloads. So I was getting less than 200 or maybe 300 downloads an episode. But still, I kept doing because there were one or maybe two person coming back and saying, you know what, I listened to that episode and I really enjoyed that. And I think when at times like that, if you can continue just, you know, and this is one of those things that I share with my podcast coaching students, they come to me like, Vijay, what number should I really be targeting? I just launched last week. And what do you think? I just got 1,000 downloads. Is that a good number? Or what is the number that I should be targeting? And I'm like, you know what? What you should be really targeting right now is 6 months down the line, blindfold your eyes and keep producing episode consistently. So that should be the number that you should be targeting 6 months. And they are like, okay. So I do not tell them, you know what, 10,000 downloads or 5,000. No, that's not something that you should be targeting because listeners will follow as long as you are creating content consistently and producing good quality content.
So you've been talking about this podcast coaching. Why don't we get into that a little bit? And could you tell our listeners how exactly you've evolved yourself to become a podcast coach, what your services are, and then also maybe over the period of time that you've been doing this, what has your experience been in terms of the changing landscape, the people you work with, or just the ecosystem as a whole?
So talking about my podcast coaching and consulting, the idea was I didn't start out my podcast to become a podcast coach and consultant, but I'm part of a lot of trainers and coaching groups and a lot of my trainers and coaching friends came to me saying, Bizet, you do have this podcast and we want to start a podcast because I have a message that I want to share out to the world. And I did a couple of webinars for them and also did some of the WhatsAppinars, what we call for the seminar that we do over WhatsApp. So I did some of them. And after that, you know, when the numbers started increasing, I thought, you know what, why don't I create a product out of that? So, you know, that's how the whole podcast coaching thing came out. And initially, the idea was to do a 2 days kind of run through of podcasting, two full days workshop kind of thing. But very quickly in the game, I realized this is not how I want to teach people podcasting in 2 days, because when you give everything or load them with all the information within 2 days, they end up taking no action at all. So that's how I broke down the entire thing into 6 weeks. So which I conduct over 6 weeks, six Sundays. And every Sunday, it's a 2-hour thing. And after that, from one Sunday to another, I give them checklists and worksheets, and I make them part of the WhatsApp group where people are motivating each other, having conversation with each other, sharing their update with each other, and they come to another session with the completed homework and templates and checklists and everything that I have given to them. And that's how over a period of 6 weeks, they accomplish, the entire thing. And if they follow through all of the actions that I, give them on those six weeks, they can actually come out with their first episode. So this is like the podcast coaching that I do offer to people. Also, I work with the organizations and with individuals who says, I don't want to wait for 6 weeks, but I want things to get quick. And also, I don't want to do all of those things. I want you to take care of most of the things, but I will only want to work on the content part, but technological part and all of that. So, and we take care of the technological setup and all of that stuff. And we work with them closely in terms of setting up the professional sounding podcast for them. So that's pretty much what I offer to people. So the another question that you have asked was about a podcasting landscape. How is it changing? So right now, I see a lot of podcasters coming out coming out the content. So that's one part. And another part is the awareness that I have seen back in 2017 when I started my podcast has grown up drastically about the podcasting, like huge. So when I started out, when I asked to any people about I do a podcast, and people were like, what a podcast was? And that number was maybe 9 out of 10 people asked me what a podcast was. And if I tell people today that I do host a podcast, at least like 5 or 6 people, or 50 or 60% of the people whom I say that I do a podcast, know. They might have never heard about the podcast. I mean, they have never listened to the podcast themselves, but they have heard about a podcast or what a podcast is. It means that the awareness about the podcast is increasing. I think the reason for that is a lot of people, I'm talking about the India right now, so a lot of people in India follows these influencers and these experts in US and Europe in any industry, either that's in fashion or maybe self-help industry or maybe any of the industry, they follow these people in US. And each of these influencers in all of those different genre has got their own podcast or are, getting in process to launch their podcast, which means these followers are now aware of there is something called as podcast as well. So I think it is really growing faster than I have ever expected. And with some of the startups, and the podcast companies like yours itself, which means the future is bright, and the awareness is definitely going up. So I think podcast is going to hit big time.
I definitely hope so, and I completely agree with you in terms of the numbers shifting from 9 out of 10 not knowing to maybe 5 to 6 out of 10 actually knowing and being curious about it, and maybe 1 out of 10 out of those actually having heard podcasts, and a subset of that even wanting to start one. So it definitely is encouraging, and it's great to hear that you've had the same experience. Maybe you could just wrap up by giving some advice to any new and existing podcasters. What's like the one or two things you definitely want them to know? Somebody who's new in this journey, and in a way, we're all new in this journey anyway. Podcasting in India is so new. What have you learned that you'd want other people to know?
The very first thing that I would say, which I've already mentioned, is be consistent. That is one of those things. I think that is the number two, actually. Be consistent and produce content for 6 months. Give it 6 months of your time without expecting anything in return. Just be part of the game and do it for the love of the game for 6 months, and you will start seeing those numbers going up. You might potentially see the way you can monetize that podcast. So that's the second point. So the number one point that I would like to suggest to you is to not get delayed in terms of starting a podcast. So just don't wait and let that resistance that you have in your mind about how I'm going to record the interview, how I'm going to find the guest, how I'm going to purchase the and connect and use the equipment. Just do it. Whatever you have or whatever knowledge and resource and expertise that you have, just get started. And along the way, you will learn it by yourself. So just don't wait to be perfect. Just launch and get perfect along the way. So I think that would be like two messages that I want to leave with the people really looking forward to start a podcast. And if you are doing it for money, just don't do it.
All three of those points are just absolutely excellent. I completely agree. And I wish somebody had sort of pushed me in that way when I first started. And even to this day, you know, I come up with desires of creating new shows all the time, and I let all these internal resistances get in the way. So even I'll try and follow your advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Bijay, you said you like sharing other people's journeys, and I think you've been very generous with sharing yours, and it's inspiring in its own way. And, you know, I'm sure people will get a lot out of it. So thank you so much for that. There's so much you're an expert on, or we're both enthusiastic about, which we haven't touched within podcasting. So I actually look forward to visiting those topics when you're back on the show very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
Could you just let the listeners know where they can find you, where they can find the Inspiring Talk, any maybe social media handles you want them to check out?
Yeah, sure. So you can visit the website, theinspiringtalk.com. Maybe Vidur can list them on the show notes. You can get all of the get details about all the work that I do and the podcast itself by visiting the website. And to reach me, it's super simple. If you go to my website, you can find the links to contact and also link to the WhatsApp, where you can simply click on that WhatsApp thing and you can just directly send message me on WhatsApp. So that's accessible I am. And if you listen to some of those episodes while you are there at the website, make sure that you say what you feel about that episode. And we are constantly looking for your feedback, and we want to hear what you feel about the episode so that we can serve you better. That happens with the creators of all sorts. And for the social media, on Facebook, you can find the page The Inspiring Talk, and on rest of the social media and rest of the other social media platforms, you can find me at the rate Bijay Speaks. That is BijaySpeaks. So you can find me on all of those other medias with the same handle. So that's how you can get in touch with me. I would love to have a conversation with you if you happen to listen to my podcast or just want to know something or some of the tips and tricks about the podcasting. I'd be more than happy to serve you.
So all of that information will, of course, be in the show notes. And I think that's a good advice to all listeners of podcasts. Guys, podcasting is hard sometimes, and show the podcaster some love if you listen to the episode. They love hearing it, and it's what keeps them going. Well, Bijay, thanks again for your time and for sharing your insights and perspectives. And I look forward to talking again in the future.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Vidur. I really enjoyed having this conversation with you.
I did as well.